Today on Real Life Radio.
You believing doesn't make that true. It is a fact. That's why it's true. What you believing does is it makes that truth that is a reality in your life now.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the reality of what it means to live and die as a Christian. You see, for the believer, we have the assurance of eternal life. Now, this promise is founded upon the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, which is really, if you think about it, the most important belief in Christianity. So today we'll learn that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the grave, we'll be saved. Eternity in heaven is a reality for us, so we can live and die in peace. Now with his message called, What Will Happen to You When You Die? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray this morning that as we go through this portion of 1 Corinthians 15, that we would be very keenly serious about examining our own lives to see where we are with you, Jesus. That we would not be Christians just by title, but by true reality, by true action. So, Father, we ask now for your life-changing spirit to be upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles and turn this morning, if you would, to part two of our message entitled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? That was the message that we looked at our last time together. And quite frankly, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, this is probably going to be our title for a while. What will happen to you when you die? Is a great question. For the believer, we know. But listen, I want to challenge you as a believer, why and how do you know that to be true? As someone who may be very religious, but you don't have the assurance of eternal life, I want you to be listening carefully. Maybe you're here this morning and you have been one who's been invited and you're not a Christian. And you've got all the arguments you think as to why you shouldn't become a Christian. I understand that. In fact, if you were to share your views as to why you don't want to become a Christian, we might agree with all of them. Your argument, though, may be flawed as to why you should become a Christian. We do not bring you the message this morning to invite you to be a member of this church. We are not bringing you the message this morning to get you to be on our team. We bring you the message this morning because we want you to be in heaven. We want you to know that when you die, you go into the presence of God on good terms. That is our passion for living. This is the thing that drives us on our gatherings together on Wednesdays and Sundays as collectively as a church. And we've been looking at the doctrine of resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the most single, number one, important doctrine of all Christianity. So paramount and monumental is it that if you can disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you take down Christianity and all of our faith is in vain. In fact, look ahead. We'll sneak ahead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 says, Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Verse 15 says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. Why does Paul say that? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith, my friends, listen, our faith is not something that's just for this world to get us through. Church, listen, our faith in this world now is not just to get us through. Our faith is on that which is eternal. You'll hear about more on that in a moment. But our faith is founded upon the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. What guarantee do you have that what you believe is true? Are you a Hindu? Are you a Buddhist? Are you a Muslim? Are you something? Are you a New Ager? What is it? Are you an atheist? What is it? We as Christians are no different than you. Fundamentally, though, for this fact alone, we part ways. We know and have been persuaded and are convinced that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Our faith is founded upon fact, not wishful thinking, not the traditions of men. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And the resurrection is the centrality of the gospel. You might say this morning in a good argument, you might say, Pastor, I disagree. I think it's the life of Christ. Listen, the life of Christ is awesome. Others might say it's the cross of Christ. Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, God, for the cross. But without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have a beautiful life that's been lived, a selfless life that was put to death, and you have no hope beyond that. You've got just another religious world founder of a group of people, and you have no hope. But Jesus, am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. Jesus Christ, his tomb is empty, and you and I will benefit for all time and eternity from that fact. Amen. What is it, and who is it that you believe in? Is he resurrected from the dead? If he's resurrected from the dead, then that is your assurance that it will happen to you as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, this is introduction. Acts 2, 22 says, as the gospel was preached, listen to it, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. Boy, that's evidence, isn't it? As you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, that means it was the plan of God that Christ should die, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Listen, amen. Angie said amen. A few of you over here said amen. We should have all jumped out of our seats at that moment and said amen. Jesus busted the grave. He broke it. So then what's our assurance? Romans 8:11 says, for if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies through his spirit, you who dwells in you. That is life. That is awesome. How does this happen? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Paul says, but what does it or the scripture say? Listen to this. The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Let me insert this. You believing doesn't make that true. It is a fact. That's why it's true. What you believing does is it makes that truth that is a reality in your life now. Let me keep going. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So look, follow along with me as we look at the context of our study, but this morning we'll look at verses 3 and 4 in detail. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you or since you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Meaning, if you've believed and the resurrection is not true, it's empty. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain to the present time. But some have fallen asleep or died, as a reference to the Christian who dies. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. That is Paul speaking of himself. By one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, whom not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than you all. Sounds like he's from Texas. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Verse 11, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Church, this is part two of a message entitled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? And I'm going to leave it up to you to look at the points of our previous message. Point number two today is this. Jot it down if you would. What will happen to you when you die? Are these arguments from beyond eternity? Will you write that down? Point number two are arguments from beyond eternity. You say, wait a minute. What can be beyond eternity? Isn't eternity everything? Yeah, but it's a very bright way for me to make the point. Arguments from beyond eternity. Could anything be beyond eternity? When we think about eternity, we think of a long time. That's not eternity. Eternity is, listen, eternity only exists because God is spirit. The Bible says that God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is an amazing thing. See, you and I are physical in the sense of the world we relate in. God is not. That's why miracles should not surprise us. God is outside the physical realm and has no effort, no pains, no difficulty inserting his power, inserting his presence into the material universe. We call it a miracle. It's just God being God. But eternity is where he is. Eternity exists because of who God is. So in that sense, I say this, point number two, that our arguments this morning come from beyond eternity, from God himself. Again, let me read verses 3 and 4. I love it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. How powerful is the Bible? How holy and amazing are the scriptures? Listen to what he says. For I, says Paul, delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. I didn't make it up. In fact, Paul would say, I was against it at first. I went around killing Christians before it became a reality in my life. Here it is, A, that Christ died for our sins, B, according to the scriptures, C, that he was buried, and D, that he rose again the third day. This is the gospel. And E, it was according to the scriptures. You guys, in verses 3 and 4, two verses, you have the entire gospel of God. You can take those two verses and march around the world and just repeat it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Have you ever seen politicians speak in real life? Have you ever seen it happen? I've seen that happen. I've seen them speak at one location, and then I happen to be at another location. I remember I was with several pastors in Washington, D.C., and we were arguing outside the Capitol with some congressmen regarding the defense of marriage, that it's a biblical issue and you should stay out of it. And there are some politicians speaking, and it's like Woody. You know Woody from Toy Story? He's really cute on film. But if you go to the Disney store and buy Woody, and you pull the string that's kind of right near his rear end, which is appropriate, You pull it, and it says the same thing, no matter what room you take him in, no matter what car ride he's on, you just pull the string, and he says the same thing. And politicians will be somewhere on Monday, and they'll say the exact same thing, and then they'll be somewhere else on Tuesday, say the exact same thing, and I understand that there's a protocol to that, and there's a reason for that. But there has never been more justification for any other person on the face of the earth than for the Christian to simply repeat the gospel. Why? Because it's not political. It is not fancy words. It is not something complicated. It is that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and rose again 3 days later from the grave according to the Bible. That's what the Bible says about the Bible. That's our message. So listen, just like last time, so this time, 10 things, 10 arguments. Number one, from beyond eternity, we want to ask this question, what will happen to you when you die? Number one is his message has come. Jot that down. His message has come. The actual word of God given to man is from beyond eternity. The gospel is eternal. The Bible is the vehicle that brings us to the knowledge of God and his nature and his plan. The message of God is revealed in the Bible. But listen. Understand this right now. This is big in the news. There are people who are destroying the Bible and burning the Bible and saying that the Bible is nothing. And look, none of you are moved by that, and so you shouldn't be. Did you know that? Did you know if people came in today and took all of our Bibles and burnt them, we would say, well, doggone it, that wasn't nice, but now I got to go buy a new one. If our Bible goes up in flames, it doesn't destroy our salvation. Do you understand that? This is the vehicle of God to bring us to the knowledge of God's will for our lives. We do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. Okay, there are those who have certain religious cults that actually worship the book, and if the book goes up in flames, their God has been defeated. That's not true for us. Why? He's eternal. He comes from eternity. And the message is eternal. The gospel is eternal. That's why when somebody knocks on your door and says, we've got another testament to tell you. Why would you have that to tell me when the gospel's eternal? It's God's plan throughout the ages. In fact, the Bible says of itself that the gospel was God's plan before it was ever even revealed to man. It was waiting to come, waiting to arrive. And the Bible makes it very clear. His message has come from eternity. In fact, listen to this. I love this verse. You've heard me say it before. In fact, I like when I speak at prophecy conferences, I like to use this verse in many openings for Bible prophecy conferences because people think, oh, good, we're at a Bible prophecy conference. We're going to dissect and we're going to differentiate between the toes of Daniel's statue. And hey, the greatest prophetic eschatological promise ever given in scriptures in Genesis 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, that is Satan's offspring. Yes, he has offspring. Freaky, huh? And her seed, the child that would eventually come from Eve, he shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. That is a prophetic announcement of salvation, the gospel. Where does the gospel first appear? Genesis chapter 3, 15. Is that awesome? If anybody wants to mess around with you and give you a new gospel, forget about it. Forget about it. Take them back to Genesis 3:15. There's the gospel. The Messiah will come. That's why it's a capital S in your Bible as seed. The message has come. But the message has always been. You see, Jack, I want to talk to you about that. I have an argument with you and your God. In fact, that's cool. In Isaiah 1:18, this is a bonus verse. It's not in my notes. Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And the word in Hebrew is, let's argue. You think you're such hot stuff, huh? You want to take on God? God says, amen. He just rolls up the sleeves of his robe and says, come on, you want a piece of me? Let's argue, you and I. Bring forth your case. Give me your best shot. Why do you not believe in me? Why do you not trust me? Why do you not embrace my gospel? And you're going to vomit your excuses, and he's going to say, write back an answer. He's going to give you, well, this, and because of that, and this and the other, and you're going to stand there, and I would stand there naked with no defense. And it's amazing, because God doesn't win arguments to beat you up. God wins arguments to embrace your soul. Anybody want to argue with me? I mean, come on. Guys, I'm only talking to the guys right now. The first reaction for a man is, I'm going to punch you out. And then I remember, I'm a Christian. I can't punch him out. I don't have that liberty. So Lord, forgive me for the thought. And then when the Spirit of God takes over, it's, wait a minute. This person needs the love of God in their life. This person needs to see a good witness. The Atlantic News, the Atlantic, it's a publication on the East Coast, got all upset with me doing the Worldview series on Wednesday nights about environmentalism. First of all, why were they even listening? And I started getting emails from the East Coast saying, hey man, they're getting all upset with you. Do you see this article? And so then the phone rings and they say, we want to talk to you. We're going to have somebody debate you. I said, well, on what? On what the Bible has to say. I said, come on. I just need to show up. Why? Because God's the one who argues. It's not us. We just stand in the truth. Point number two is this, or the second argument is this. What will happen to you when you die? Do you know the message? Number two, do you know his righteousness? From beyond eternity, his righteousness stands. Oh boy, our culture needs to hear this. Hollywood needs to hear this. Churches need to hear this. God is righteous. What does that word righteous mean? It means that God always does the right thing. Righteous is to do the right thing. God cannot do anything but the right thing. Remember that when you're reading your Bible or when you're thinking or when you're praying. If you don't understand something about God, just pause, take a deep breath, and default to the nature of God until you have your question answered. What is that? God is righteous.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 2. We're glad you're here today. You know, this message that you just heard is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So, Pastor Jack, I hear that you and Lisa have a devotional that you guys have been doing together. And, you know, finding solid devotional material, it can be difficult. There's a lot of them out there. But you guys really like this one, huh?
Yeah, listen, actually, we came across this almost by accident. And I have to tell you, I'm kind of bummed that I didn't share this sooner. Lisa and I love this devotion. It's titled, Now I See. And it's spelled like the ocean, S-E-A. Jenny Coate is a woman who grew up sailing. She grew up from the youngest age sailing boats. She loves the water. She loves the Lord. And so what she did was she wrote a devotion that's based around the theme of weather, storms, sunny days, sand, life. And Lisa and I have enjoyed this devotion for probably well over 2 years now, and we're just getting around to letting everybody know about it, Davey, but it is an awesome devotion. There's so many out there, but this is so unique. I think people will love it.
Now, I know that you and Lisa are going through it together, and is this a couple's devotional, or is it for anybody, single folks, married folks?
Yeah, anybody. It's not focused on any particular a gender, it's not married or singles. No. If you want to get closer to Jesus, period, this is a great devotion.
So the title, it's dramatic in its wording, but I think that helps. I love a great story, a great analogy, and it sounds like this book is full of that.
You know, it's amazing. I have to tell you, and I think somebody who's keen on reading or keen on communication will pick up really quickly. This woman's got an amazing gift of authorship, okay? And so that said,
She had us at Now I See with the word SEA because we love everything beach. And how many people find solace at the beach? How many people love to be comforted by the sun and by the sand and by the sound of the waves and all of that? This book will take you into that scenario like no other. She will unpack and reveal stories that are biblically based that you're going to walk away with a great, great, great comfort of the scriptures.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.